Welcome to Obesity, a Disease, the official Obesity Medicine Association podcast exploring the many facets of the disease of obesity. Obesity, a Disease podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Medicine Association, a clinical leader in obesity medicine.
So I'd like to begin with a story of a 68-year-old female patient who presented to my office for obesity treatment. She related that she had gained 100 pounds after the death of her husband, and she was successful in losing 45 of those pounds, but still remained very self-critical over her inability to lose more weight. She had a tendency to eat larger portions, and she felt a sense of loss of control, particularly in the evenings when she really felt like she had missed her husband the most. And so she was really struggling to identify what she can do to help with her weight. She followed these sessions with feelings of guilt and self-admonishment and really struggled to find a happy place to be able to treat her obesity. She's not alone. Hi, I'm Dr. Nick Pennings, Chair of Family Medicine at the Campbell University School of Osteopathic Medicine and Director of Clinical Education for the Obesity Medicine Association. So with me today on the podcast is Laura Mellon. Dr. Mellon presented at the 2025 OMA Annual Conference on Emotional Brain Training, Treat the Stress Response for Lasting Weight Loss. Dr. Mellon, will you tell us more about yourself?
What a pleasure. Actually, I recently retired from UCSF faculty after 42 years, and I spent most of those 42 years trying to find the root cause of overeating and obesity. I actually had a problem with eating and weight from the age of 11 to about 32 because I had some wires going in my brain that were chemically driving me to overeat, and I was really focused on stopping the suffering. And so with my colleagues there who are neuroscientists and physiologists, I developed a set of skills that help people go to the root cause of why we overeat. Now, there's lots of reasons that people overeat or gain weight, but all of them come down to if a brain is wired for stress and stress reactivity, it's going to be hard to change all of them. So the new thinking about obesity is although we need to, you know, work with weight loss drugs and a lot of different changes that we need to make, if you don't deal with the root cause, which is physiologic stress overload, it's going to be really hard to give people what we want. And what we want to give our patients is freedom. We want them to lose weight and keep it off. We want them to be easier to push back from the table, not because they're using psychological skills, but biochemical. Because we now know from the weight loss literature that, in fact, those drugs are actually showing everyone that this is not a behavioral problem and it's not a psychological problem. It's a physiological problem. Everyone is stressed, and the more the stress chemicals are flowing, the more it makes it really difficult to pull back from the table, not go off the diet, and essentially release extra weight out of joy instead of feeling like you're deprived.
And so a lot of terms that are used with respect to helping people lose weight is that they need better self-control, more willpower, more determination. And you argue that those are not the right ones. Those are that there's a physiology that is really needs to change.
This poor woman that you just mentioned is blaming herself for overeating, whereas essentially she's thinking that there's something wrong with her or that she's psychologically deficient or her behaviors are aberrant. What she is she has stress chemicals flowing through her, and there's now a way to turn off those stress chemicals directly. It's emotional brain training. Essentially, what happens is in the brain, there's something called the stress triangle. There's three different structures, the amygdala, the nucleus accumbens, and hypothalamus. And those three structures all have been affected by stress. So they essentially create this chemical cascade of dopamine differences and dysregulation of cortisol and leptin. There's eight different chemicals. Only one of them is GLP-1. So if you give yourself an injection of GLP-1, that's really helpful for a lot of people because they are suffering. This woman is suffering. And so it takes away that suffering, and they feel like the food noise is not hurting them every single day. And as someone who suffered from that myself, I know the agony. But what we're saying to the clinicians here at OMA is, couple it up. Give people the weight loss drugs that they need and want because they're out of control. But let them know that that obesity is not caused by a deficiency of GLP-1. It's caused fundamentally by chronic stress overload in the brain that can be rewired if you use emotional techniques, emotional brain training, to directly shut off that wire even before you eat. Like if you're about to, this woman at night, she was lonely. That's called stress. Stress chemicals. And so what she does is say, it's not me. I'm not psychologically deficient. I have some biochemicals running now that I have the skills to shut off. She reaches for the emotional tools and she shuts them off and she says, what just happened? I don't want the food so much. Maybe I'm not psychologically damaged after all. And then if her physician says to her, I believe in you. I'm going to give you those weight loss drugs, and I'm also going to give you the stress tools to emotionally rewire those circuits in your brain so that over time you can begin to notice that you can get those chemicals balanced naturally. And so she continues to do it with support because the brain is not a computer with an on-off switch. It's a neural learning device. And so she's going to have to learn these skills. And it takes her about a month to learn how to get out of that stress state and back to that state where her chemicals are regulated. And then she'll get kind of bored and say, well, I know how to do that. And then she goes on and she rewires four major circuits in her brain that directly activate the drive to overeat. One's a food circuit. Another is a mood she gets stuck in. Another is relationships are really necessary, like the loss of her husband. She needs that loving connection. And when we're in stress, what happens is we either get overly involved in people's pleas and rescue and really lose ourselves in another person. And this is for all brains. Or we distance and put up walls. Either way, you don't get the oxytocin we need, which is a natural appetite suppressant. And lastly, and more importantly, even than the food circuit, that wire that has us driven to overeat. And this is really important because essentially they've done this through Kaiser and other research centers. Dr. Felitti has done this research on obese people. This is magnificent. And of course, with emotional brain training at UCSF, we've built on that for the last 15 years, which is people have a body circuit. A body circuit means they are either judging their body, and when you judge your body, you judge yourself. So it's really, really stressful. Or they have a body circuit, and this is among those that have more extreme obesity, that as the weight comes on, the brain actually encodes circuits that make it safe to stay at that weight. And the way you know your patient has a body circuit, which can be rewired so it's no longer a drive, is they lose a little bit of weight, and they don't have the drive for the food anymore, but all of a sudden they start to feel uncomfortable or unsafe in their body size. It could be psychological vulnerabilities, it could be sexual advances, it could be simply not feeling like you have enough of a wall around you. It's completely in the unconscious mind, all of this is. And so what happens is they start to gain the weight again, and you say, that must be a body circuit. When they rewire the body circuit, what happens is they have what's called the joy of releasing extra weight. This is very important. As long as people feel deprived and out of control, they're not going to be able to release the weight in the natural way they could. But once the food circuit is rewired, they're not getting stuck in some mood like depression or anxiety, which causes stress. They're not distancing or emerging in their relationships. And they have the body circuit rewired. What happens is their dopamine starts going up and their endorphins start going up. And even the thought of releasing weight is so exciting. Now, you can get some of that with weight loss drugs because people get excited that they finally have an answer. And that's why weight loss drugs are so important. But the idea is if you have those chemicals naturally in your own brain, you take your brain with you. So there's a certain satisfaction to that, and also because it's healthy. So when the joy of weight loss comes on, this is what happens. This woman that you're just talking about, when she's rewired her four circuits and she knows how to control her biochemistry, she knows it's not psychological, it's biological. There's nothing wrong with her, but she needs to stay with it to raise her brain's set points. So essentially she's wired for a state of connection and optimal physiology rather than chronic stress. She's going to come to you as her clinician and say, I don't know, I'm just so high on the fact that I'm releasing extra weight and it feels so good. And when she says that, you'll be glad psychologically that she's happy again. But more than that, you'll be happy physiologically that she has her reward centers really activated by the joy of being in control and feeling safe again.
So how does emotional brain training change that physiologic response? What is happening to change that response?
Well, first of all, the nature of circuits. The circuits that control our physiology have three components. Initially, an emotional response, and then an expectation, like what am I going to do to feel better? And then a behavior to go with it. This is basic neurophysiology. We taught this to medical students for 10 years at UCSF. And so we have to rewire those circuits. The first thing that she has to do is say, you know, it's not me. It's a wire in my brain that's doing this. It's causing a physiologic change. And what I need to do is stop judging myself and realize whenever I'm not feeling in a state of connection, and physiologists call this joy, that I'm going to use these emotional tools to get back to that state of well-being. So in order to use the tools, you have to stop trying to think your way out of things. This is very hard for people. And in the videos I show you in the presentation at OMA, I show you patients doing this. And the first thing they do is they start trying to think their way out. So as a clinician, you say, you know what, the studies have been done at NYU that show you that you can't use your thinking brain, your prefrontal cortex, to shut off the level of emotional dysregulation caused by stress. You need to say to yourself, I can't think my way out of this. There are emotional tools that take me out of it within 2 to 3 minutes. I need to reach for those tools and use them.
Because I've talked to her about this. I've talked to her about her self-judgment and about her self-criticism and trying to help her to think differently about it. So what are those tools that can move their thinking in a different direction?
The tools are you first need to do everything Mother told you not to do. And that's the fun part. Because all of this, EBT is developed first for children and adolescents, then adults, and then it's also for all health-related problems. In fact, next week I'm going to Los Angeles County Psychological Association and giving a 3-hour keynote on EBT for all the stress they have in LA. So once you learn the process of how to rewire a circuit, you can use it for relationships, you can use it for addiction, you can use it for anything. So what I would say to her is, let me show you what the brain says to do, not what your mom said to do. And the first thing, and remember the whole process, once you learn it, only takes a couple of minutes. You say, and essentially you do it over and over again until the drive fades because the physiology has changed. First thing you do is I want you to tell me 5 sentences that a complaint about something. Again, it doesn't matter what it is, but let's say it's about food. And she would, and I said, just the facts, no feelings. Remember, this is not psychotherapy. Psychotherapists use it, but it's essentially rewiring the stress response. And so, and she says, situation is at night, I'm very upset, and what happens is I overeat and I miss my husband and it's really, really bad. That's all. And we don't even listen to the content because I'm a health psychologist, not a clinical psychologist. You listen to their process. That's what you're teaching them. And then you say, what really bothered you the most? And then we're trying to get down to the bottom of the brain and have it be mm-hmm. really simple. And she says, I overeat. And you say, great. Those words are perfect. We're going to use those to find the circuit in your brain. Because even though we're all sort of our own psychologists, and we know why we overeat, what's in the thinking brain is not relevant because the message to get that safety or that existence or that survival from the food is in the unconscious mind. Until you make the unconscious conscious, you really are playing with half a deck of cards.
So how do you get to that unconscious mind?
Very simple. It's very simple. So once she complains, if she doesn't have the emotional tools, she will immediately shut down. It's called the emotional blockade. It doesn't matter whether it's anxiety, depression, or whatever it is. She will shut down. It's an emotional blockade. And then she'll feel really scared, and she'll go to the refrigerator. So with EBT, once she's made her complaint and she has a clinician working with her, she also can use it in an app between sessions because you don't want to desert her. She's going to be using it. But she uses it with the clinician, and that makes all the difference. And she says, I said, now, I want you to express 4 emotions. One, a little brief bit of anger, because anger is the only negative emotion in the brain that essentially is associated with power and will both activate the most egregious circuit and dissipate the stress really quickly. And so, you know, she says, I feel angry that I overeat. I can't stand it that I overeat. I hate it. And I say, great, great, great. And I don't even listen to the content because I just want her to activate the circuit. And then she'll say 1 sadness, 1 fear, 1 what she wished she would do. And that takes these stuck allostatic emotions, and it makes them flow. So she doesn't even talk about her feelings very much, just 1 little statement, And the brain responds by taking from the unconscious mind to the conscious mind the exact message that was encoded when she activated. Once you have that, based on positive neuroplasticity, you can confront that with the opposite. The brain can't hold two opposites at the same time. And the one that's more rewarding will prevail, and it'll reconsolidate the old one. Now, what she does is then she says, okay, where do I get my safety? I get my safety from, and it's not food, because this is physiology, not behavior. I get my safety, and it's always connecting inside her, because it's that connection in the brain to the deepest part of ourselves that normalizes the physiology and optimizes the physiology. And then in that brain state, those eight chemicals that drive overeating begin to normalize, and she notices that she wants to eat healthy, that she doesn't like being stuffed. And that process is done over and over again until she can say, oh my gosh, I didn't want the extra food, and know that that's in her brain, so she owns it. She has that power.
So that must take time, though. I mean, that's got to be not something that would be, you know, just one thought process and behavior changes. I would imagine that it would take repeated efforts in order to make that succeed.
Absolutely. And so that's where the physician's role comes in, because we know that to have lasting changes, the studies on EBT that show lasting weight loss were after 18 weeks of EBT. But we recommend staying with it. And we also recommend that, number one, you've got to have a clinician who sees you, feels you, believes in you. Because we all need, if we're going to transform our lives, and this woman is in a deep ditch of trauma. She is, and she doesn't know how to get out of it. We have to have someone say, you know, I'm going to give you the medication, but I'm going to pair it with a companion of teaching you the tools to get to the root cause and be able to spiral up out of that stress and rewire so you have lasting changes. You can do this, and I'm going to stay with you, because this is about secure attachment. I want you to come back and see me. We want the OMA clinician to stay with that patient for a year. And essentially, she can go online and get in group support. She can get all that she needs. Or the physician can have people in his or her office also be trained in it. Either way, what happens is it is being seen, heard, and felt by someone who believes in you.
So how do clinicians get trained in
That's
EBT?
Very easy. We train clinicians in sessions that take 12 weeks. It takes about 3 hours a week for a clinician to be trained. And the reason it takes that long is because they're learning to think in terms of circuits and to think in terms of how to actually emotionally connect with the patient and support them as they process their emotions. Also, we believe that this is not a pathology. Everyone has stress. And you can't, if you were, let's say, doing mindfulness, you wouldn't want to go to a mindfulness instructor who hadn't practiced mindfulness. Well, with emotional brain training, with EBT, we have people come in, and it can be any discipline. We have lots of physicians. We have lots of RDs and RDNs. We have nurse practitioners. Because it's not a psychological process, it is a biological process. It's just skills that anyone can teach. But you need to also rewire four of your circuits, because everyone has them. Because what happens is you develop a closeness with your patient where you say, you know what, I have that circuit too, but I rewired it. Or tell me more, and you have insight into what they're doing because you've been there and you've had that feeling of rewiring a circuit and knowing that all of a sudden you're the same person, but the circuit's been rewired, so you don't have those same biochemical drives, and it feels incredibly rewarding.
Are there other resources that patients can go to experience EBT or learn more about EBT?
The major place is on our portal, which is EBT, which is the same initials as food stamps, EBT, but it's a .org. And that's where they can get all their resources, and also where you can find out about training your staff, or just having you as the physician or clinician overseeing it and having the online support system working. So either way. But also there's a book out called 1-2-3 Joy on Amazon that gives some of the science as well.
Well, that's great. So that's a lot of interesting stuff, a lot of great potential for being able to help our patients. You know, many times people think of the medication as just the solution, and we know that it's not. And the behavioral side doesn't always get the attention that it needs as well. And so this is really, I think, a great insight into a pathway that we can help in on that behavioral aspect.
Well, that's wonderful, because I appreciate that. But actually, at this point, research has been done on EBT, 14 studies that have shown it's the only method that has been shown in peer-reviewed journals to produce lasting weight loss after treatment ends. So it's really about not just the behavior, but changing how we think about obesity, that we need those weight loss drugs, but we want to pair it with going to the physiologic root cause to give people the best chance of having that freedom.
And I think that's part of why we think of obesity as a chronic disease, because of the underlying physiologic dysfunction that's there.
Absolutely.
So lastly, what's your favorite bit of advice to clinicians when you're discussing obesity with them?
I would say have compassion for yourself. It's very hard right now in the field because there's so much that's now being shown that's really, really effective, and there's also some drawbacks to it. This is a time where I can see we could go back to 2011 levels of obesity, and that's the call to action. Right now, people don't know what to do, and they're open to change. This is a time to say, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to give them the great drugs, but we're also going to go to the root cause. I believe if we pair EBT and change the basic physiology, and we use weight loss drugs and even surgery appropriately, I think we can get back to 2011 levels of obesity by 2035. So give yourself compassion. It's been hard. It's a new world now. There's new scientific procedures, and begin to cobble them together so your patients and you feel really great about what's happening.
Oh, that's a great bit of advice. Well, thank you, Laurel. You can find Dr. Mellon's conference lecture, Emotional Brain Training, Treating the Root Cause of Stress for Lasting Results. EBT is the only method other than weight loss surgery to have shown research published in peer-reviewed journals to produce continued weight loss after the treatment ends. So I'd like to thank you for your participation in the podcast and your contribution to the conference, and look forward to learning more about EBT.